Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back to the second hour of Blood River Radio, folks. This is Matt Goodwin, not Eddie Miller. Eddie Miller's out sick tonight. And so, it's just me and our guests, and we'll take it from here. I have a new guest that I want to introduce. We'll introduce him as a co-host. He's been chomping at the bit to come on, and we've been wanting to get him on here. And I want to introduce him first and foremost. Patrick, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you great. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
Before I go on, and Monica's with us, before I go on, I'm going to just ask you a couple questions so the audience can get a little familiar with you. Patrick, what is your political views in a few short words?
Ooh, tough to sum up, but I'm a white advocate. I am behind our people 100%. I'm about calling out the deeper structure of what's going on in the Jewish subversion of our countries in the West, and I'm a Christian.
And you're a Christian, so
yeah.
That's great. Awesome. White advocate. That's we definitely would all agree with that. And so you say you're a Christian. What type of Christian are you? Are you one of these mamby-pamby, you got to have coffee right before your service and you're in skinny jeans and lattes? Is that what kind of Christian?
No, I'm not. I was actually I was raised Catholic. I do currently attend a church near me. I attend an Anglican church now. And to me, it's just something that's deeply personal, and I would say that's the backbone of how I view the world in its entirety.
Well, amen.
No, I'm not a passive Christian, that's for sure.
That's good. We like to call it a hardcore Christian. That's
okay.
The Christianity of our founders, our fathers, and our reformers, wasn't it, Monica?
Yes. Nice to meet you, Patrick. Hello. And
it's nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, you know, I kept wanting to say this earlier, too. This is one of the first times that I actually really enjoy listening to the commercials that come on in between our segments here. You've got great commercials.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we take pride in what we do. And,
exactly. So I guess it just stands to reason that a show that's so enlightened as yours would have would attract really good advertisers.
Well, I really appreciate it. And while Eddie's actually out sick, I'm going to take all the credit for that. I'm just going. No, I'm kidding. He certainly is the one we must thank for that. Well, okay, I'm going to switch gears here just a second, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a tirade before we go on and continue on interviewing you, Monica. Just give me a second here. Before I do, I'm going to give a little background information. For the past 5 or 10 years, this is going to be current events and news, people. We were just talking about how the Bolsheviks and the organized Jewry are taking over. And let me give you a perfect, clear example. About 5, 10 years, for the past 5, 10 years, states have been adopting this anti-BDS law. All these different states. In fact, it's almost all the way through almost all 48 states of the continental. And while your Congress, while your state Congresses were fighting each other over different issues like border security and all that, they basically made it illegal for you to financially support a boycott of Israel. Now, this really ramped up when in January 14th of 2019, this year, Donald Trump signed HB 672, and that was Combating Anti-Semitism in Europe at Home and Abroad. Well, we know how they do it abroad. They send the U.S. military to kill people. That's how they combat it abroad. But if you were wondering how they were going to combat anti-Semitism at home, well, this past couple weeks, on February 13th, 2019, the day before Valentine's, this Representative David Kustoff got up in the U.S. House, and he gave this long diatribe about how Jews should not feel so threatened in our society and all this, and by our speech, they should not feel afraid to go out and go to their places of worship and such and this. So he introduced or reintroduced a motion, H.R. 37, or actually H.J. 37 resolution. And you can actually find this. This Adam Green did an excellent show or excellent production on this vote that took place. So if you go to nomorenews.org, and you can find it there. But I'm going to tell you what. When this Representative Kustoff gets up and says this stuff, he calls for a vote, and they do a vote by voice, and you can hear no's. And he immediately gets up and demands that they have a written vote. He wants to know who dissented. And then it passes 424-0, basically making it illegal, a criminal offense, to criticize anything Jews do or anything Israel does. In our own country, no one stood up in defense of the First Amendment. Monica, what do you think about that?
Oh, this is just absolutely horrifying. That, and I guess this guy wanted it written so that they would go after any congressman or senator. I don't know which. Was it the congressman?
He was the health.
Yeah, so they would go after anybody that would be a dissenting voice, so nobody dared be a dissenting voice, because here they are passing a law against being a dissenting voice, so right away they would become criminalized. So it's like forcing this absolutely draconian... I mean, this is actually, you know, when I said things are ramping up and really speeding up here, this resolution that you just described... Oh my goodness, that sends shivers down my back. You know, in Bolshevik Russia, in the Soviet Union, anti-Semitism was met with the death penalty. Now, is this coming next? Is it next week they're going to, you know, pass a law saying anybody anti-Semitic is going to, you know, be sent to the guillotine or whatever? You know, oh my goodness, people, please, we have to wake up. It's like the last... We're 5 to midnight here. We have to be turning this ship around.
Correct. Patrick, what do you think about no House member stood up, not one single House member stood up for our First Amendment rights when this guy got up and started spouting out how we shouldn't be allowed to talk about the Jews and criticize them?
Yeah, well, they're either deceptive or complicit, and they're taking their marching orders from above. And I think it's getting to the point where they're going to force us to either confront them or submit in totality. It's death by a thousand cuts right now. So all this goes very slowly and part of the plan.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. Actually, we reached out to him. He's actually Lee Cochran's representative. We reached out to his office, and the lackey answered the phone. And we invited this man on the show to offer... I'll tell the rest of the story right after these commercials, y'all. We'll be right back. And okay. They dry out there.
Yeah. I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Well, folks, we've got a couple of diamonds on the air with us right now, Patrick and Monica Schaefer. Let me tell you, before the break, I asked them about what they thought about H.J. 37 resolution, anti-Semitism bill that the House is passing, basically in Kansas, talking any criticisms about Jews. Let me tell you what our story is about it. We actually reached out to this Representative David Kustoff. I'm going to say it again, Representative David Kustoff. We reached out to his office. He's Lee Cochran's representative, and we invited him like a man to come on the show and defend his position. And we told him we would give him all the respect and reason that we could reasonably allow on the show. And we would actually have a dialogue and discussion. That man wouldn't even talk to us. He refused to speak to us. He would not show up. He's obviously not on the show. And I'm going to tell you what I think about him now. The man's a coward. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute coward. And he's a thief on top of that. He is trying to, he's the worst kind of thief. He's a pickpocket thief. He's the one that comes up on the street with a magic trick or a card, and he wants to show you something. But while you're looking at the card or the magic trick, he's reaching in your pocket and behind you, pickpocketing you. That's kind of man this man is. He is doing a midnight hour, kind of pass this quickly through the House to try to take, steal all of our First Amendment rights. People. This, make no mistake about it, this is a religious issue. If we cannot tell our young people about how to defend themselves against the powers of Satan, if we cannot tell our young people about what organized Jewry and Bolshevism is, then the churches are going to be castrated. The churches are going to be neutered, basically. That's the gospel story. Jews crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Patrick, what do you think about us not being able to talk in church about what the Jews have done?
You know, it's criminal what's happened. That's a really strong, that's a place we can all get together, be together, and speak the truth. And supposedly without fear. I mean, we're in the presence of God and we're there. And it's a big loss. It's a big loss. And I think the devil's gotten to the church. We can clearly see that. And
I'm sorry, I thought you were done. Keep going.
Well, no, I was going to make the point that, you know, with people like this, they're similar to, I think earlier you were talking about projection and gaslighting and and making you feel like you're crazy. It's, well, we know demons, they're purged of love. They only experience feelings of anger, hatred, jealousy, and fear. So they will never confront you head on, and they will try to turn us around every which way, and we have to be aware of that.
Folks, the freedom of religion is more important than the freedom of speech, but the freedom of speech has to be there in order for you to have freedom of religion. If you can't talk about issues that are in the Bible, very well, about one-third of the New Testament talks about Jews. How do you say that without offending a Jew today? I don't understand how you can possibly do that. You know what Patrick Henry, when he gave the Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech, it was regarding an issue that had come up. The government was trying to tax street preachers, and he gave an eloquent speech about Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. Patrick Henry knew that First Amendment, free speech, and freedom of religion goes hand in hand. And I'll add one more to it, freedom of gun ownership, Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. If he'll take away your right to speech, he'll take away your guns for sure, because one and the other go hand in hand. What do you think about that, Monica?
I was going to say, keep your guns. This is really... it's part of the whole story, and they're trying to disarm the people. So they, the whole thing together, it's just a big assault, which leads to, well, we don't even want to mention and say it, but we just have to look at what they did in Bolshevik Russia and what they're doing right now in South Africa. I think we need to look at what's going on in South Africa, with white people being murdered and dispossessed of their farms, dispossessed of their land. And so this is an attack on our people, and they're pulling out all the stops now. And it just seems like we're at this absolute crisis point, which is where, you know, I mean, we could just get really, I don't know, sometimes, you know, it is a big downer, but my goodness, this is the time when, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life, and we just absolutely have to be resisting in every way that we possibly can, because it is about our very survival, and today is the first day of the rest of our lives. So to roll over and do nothing is just not an option. It is not an option. What do we tell our children? You know, we just... would rather have not been named one of those nasty words. You know, we're trying to avoid being called racist, or we're trying to avoid being called anti-Semitic. Okay, so now they passed this law, and they were, these representatives, by having to do it in written form, I mean, that just says so much right there, that it turned out to be 424-0. I mean, pardon me, that is basically, I think they were getting ready to criminalize anybody who would have voted against it, because again, it's a law to criminalize having to speak and to tell us what's going on, to criticize Israel or to criticize what the Jewish elite or the bankers are doing to us, and then to vote, and you have to do it in writing. So if you voted against that, you'd already be breaking the law, you see. So it's this circular thing. It kind of reminds me of the trial in Germany, the kangaroo court trial. It's all very circular. You cannot defend yourself without breaking the law again, and then you're in front of them again. You know, anyway, we have to resist. And I would love to give an example of just a tiny little example, but if we can shed ourselves of the fear of these words, it's perhaps a small step towards freeing ourselves. When I was in jail, there was this very, very black woman who says she grew up in Munich, and she had 8 children by about an equal number of different men, and they were all farmed out to different foster homes. But she was in jail. She was not a nice person, and she stirred up trouble all the time. Anyway, we had at some point in time gotten along fine, but then she started to not like me. And one day she played her card, and her card was the race card. And how she did that is she screamed from one end of the hall to the other so that everybody would hear it. She screamed at me, "Racist!" And she clearly was expecting me to bow down on my knees and defend myself and say, "Oh, no, no, no." But what I did instead is I laughed loudly. I laughed very loudly and long. And, you know, she never bothered me again for the rest of the time that we were in jail together. And it was incredible, the power of that laugh at her face, when she expected and had been well-trained in Germany that the Germans, who have been so re-educated a la George Orwell, that they would, if they're accused of being racist, they would just bow down and do everything they could to say, "No, no, 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 I'm not racist." Because, you know, they accused the people, if you're at all seen to be racist, oh, that's going to lead to the next Holocaust. And there we have that circular story about the Holo-hoax again, you see. So anyway, that little story, I just want to say that if we have to let these words, these weaponized words, roll off our backs like water off of a duck and just throw it back and not let it affect us, that's just one small step to resisting this tyranny.
You know, I think our father, the hanged or death or treason from the king. You know, I resonate with Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. And I'll end it right there. We'll be right back after the break, folks. Stay tuned. This is Dynamite.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
A Chicago judge sets a $1 million bond for R&B superstar R. Kelly. A Cook County judge said during Saturday's hearing that the amount equals $250,000 for each of the four people Kelly's charged with sexually abusing. Rumors and allegations of Kelly abusing women and underage girls has circulated for decades. Some of the victims' family members were present for the bond hearing. Kelly has denied all allegations of sexual misconduct. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox says the abuse dated back as far as 1998. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is not recommending a specific sentencing punishment for former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. That, according to a redacted memo made public, Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, a Democrat on the House Oversight and Intelligence Committee, tells CNN.
Paul Manafort's deceit has now extended to virtually everybody he's met. I mean, his nose is longer than Pinocchio's at this point.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
President Donald Trump says he will consider delaying a March 2nd deadline to reach a trade deal with Beijing before he escalates tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports.
I think the relationship has been very good. That's what I will say, more than anything else. As to whether we make a deal or not, who knows, but I think we have a good chance. But I think the relationship is outstanding. I think the relationship that we have now with China is better than it's ever been. And that's being, you know, making a big statement.
A senior administration official says President Trump has agreed to keep about 400 U.S. troops in Syria after the withdrawal of hundreds of others this spring. At the Pentagon, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford says the U.S. has always planned what he calls a transition as the fight against ISIS evolved.
There's no change in the basic campaign. The resourcing is being adjusted because the threat has been changed.
President Trump announces over Twitter that Kelly Knight Craft, the current ambassador to Canada, is his nominee to become the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. She would replace Nikki Haley, who abruptly resigned in October. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, folks, if you don't have an umbrella, today would be a great day to have one. Hope you have your rain boots on, your rain slick. It is coming down. So we're welcoming back to the show Monica Schaefer and Patrick. And Patrick Turner, I should say, is the last name. But anyway, so Patrick, what do you think about this HJ 37 resolution?
Well, I think it's meant to deter us from speaking out, deter us from getting together to organizing. It's a place that, you know, the internet, and I think these all kind of come together attacking speech. And one of our main battlegrounds is the internet. We see a convergence there, and it's a great help for us. And this attack on speaking and communicating with one another is truly an attack on our people, and it's frightening to see.
You know, when John and Peter were going in Acts, you can read Acts chapter 2 through 5, 6, John and Peter, they get accosted by the Jews quite a bit. And one of the things that keeps coming up through the New Testament, not just here, but is that they always tell, one of the last things they'll do is, well, we can't fight God, we might be fighting God. But they told Peter and John, just don't say anything, don't tell anyone about this. And that seems to me like what they're trying to do. It's all a matter of censorship. Just don't say anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if violence didn't work the first time, because that's what they do the first time, they'll use lawfare, and then they'll throw you in jail, and they'll use violence. And then if that doesn't work, the last thing they reproached John and Peter with was, well, don't tell anyone. And it just seems to me like their last card in their hand, and they're playing it. It's like a desperation game. Hey, Monica. Speaking of being in prison, I wanted to ask you about your brother. Tell us about Alfred.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you a little bit about him. He is, yes, he's still in prison. He will be for quite some time. He did get a sentence of 3 years, 2 months, and he has more charges in front of him precisely for things that he said in the trial. Again, going back to what I explained in the beginning, that you can't really defend yourself without committing new crime. But anyway, I want to tell you that he is in really good spirits. I am absolutely inspired by how he is able to take any situation and see the opportunity in it. So, for example, he was working in the laundry, and he was basically telling all these other workers that he's with, like other prisoners, they're from Syria, they're from all over the place, from maybe Pakistan, from just all over the place. Anyway, he's talking to them, and they actually have these integration lessons, you know, so they're sharing with Alfred their course material, and Alfred is teaching them about all kinds of stuff, and they're very open to these matters. And people in other parts of the world, by the way, they don't believe all these lies that were being told about the Hollow Hoax and whatnot. So they were challenging the teacher, and they were telling the teacher, oh, we're going to show Alfred this, and the teacher saying, no, you can't show Alfred this course material. They panicked. And these students also challenged the teacher, said, why are you telling us this nonsense? This is nonsense. You know, they got it. And so they moved Alfred to another wing of the jail, and he's no longer working. And so in a way, you know, he could be sad about that, but he sees it as, oh, well, I guess they figured that I needed to have more time to write more letters, you know. And so he's seeing it as a positive thing. He doesn't sort of cry about it. Now he's got new friends in the new wing where he's at, and writing a lot of letters. And speaking of letters, I would encourage your listeners to write to political prisoners. I would encourage you to write to Alfred. You can find his mailing address on my website, and if you don't mind, I'll just tell you what my website is. It's called freespeechmonica.wordpress.com, and the Monica is what's spelled with a K, so freespeechmonica.wordpress.com, and there you'll see a sticky note, so the top post will have Alfred's particulars. And yeah, so he's got lots of great stories, and if you write him and you put your return address, he tries to write back to everybody that writes to him. And it's a really good thing to show the authorities as well that these political prisoners are not forgotten, and that is a very important lifeline for the prisoner as well. I know that I enjoyed receiving many letters from around the world, and it kept me busy writing letters too. It was like I was always with people. I was never really alone in there. And yeah, I'd like to turn it over to you again, but just to leave you with that note.
Well,
to...
Monica, tell the audience real quick, like what exactly did he do? You and him were charged and tried at the same time, right? What exactly?
Correct.
What exactly did he get tagged with?
Yeah.
Along with, beside you.
Yeah. Okay. It's paragraph or section 130 in their laws in Germany. It would be like in Russia. They had the section or paragraph 58, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn called them 58ers. You know, basically these laws that inciting hatred or whatnot. The law itself does not have the word Holocaust in it, but it is all about, it's, you know, you can't deny, quote unquote, the Holocaust, nor can you praise the National Socialists, nor can you diminish their so-called crimes. So this is all in this law, right? But it's talking about inciting hatred. It also talks about undermining the trust that the people have in the justice system, which is rather ironic because there they are raiding his home and stealing his equipment, and yet he's the one supposedly undermining the trust. And to answer your question more directly, if people want to find his YouTube channel, his YouTube channel is Alfred S., that's it, or if you put in your search bar 9/11 gatekeepers and controlled opposition, that would lead you to one of his first videos that he made, and this was back, I think, in 2014, before he even understood the truth about World War II. So there's a lot in there that he's still thinking that the so-called Nazis are bad at that time. But he made many videos, and that was his crime. He made many educational videos, primarily about psychological warfare, how they use words against us, how they use these weaponized words.
So, Monica,
yeah.
Did they prosecute you with German law or international law? And
no.
Another question, were German law. And another quick question, did you see while you were in jail there, did they actually, did you see what you would consider real criminals who came and went well before you did? As in, they got in America it used to be an idea, you get a fair and speedy trial. Like they were giving these people more fair and speedy trials than you were getting.
Yes, I was there for 6 months before my trial began. They were just holding me. And yes, back to your first question, it was German law. And I had gone to Germany just to visit. I was going to just be there a month over Christmas time, and then they snatched me right out of the courtroom, by the way, as I was in the public gallery watching Sylvia Stoltz's speech crime trial, and they saw me, and they decided they would snatch me. And I didn't even know that they had a file on me, and it was actually relatives who had reported me a couple of years earlier, which is a whole nother story, I'm telling you. It just gets more and more interesting. But these people thought they were being good because I was making Germany bad again in their thoughts, and they are completely indoctrinated, as you can imagine. I mean, they have been re-educated, a la George Orwell, re-educated. So they thought Alfred and I were really bad, and they had to report us to the authorities after my Sorry Mom video came out in 2016. Meanwhile, I didn't get a letter to me in Canada saying, you know, dear Ms. Schaefer, you better be careful about coming to Germany because we've got a file on you and we want to throw you in the gulag.
That's right. Yeah, no one was kind enough to alert you about that.
Yeah, and there were other people in jail who also were there without having yet faced trial. And I'm telling you, there's a whole mix of prisoners there. I mean, not everybody in jail is bad, that's for sure. Like, there's a lot of other people there who really shouldn't have been there. And yet, on the other hand, sure, there's lots of people there who had done real crime. And it was a real mix. But I did meet some other political prisoners. Very, very interesting stories. Different kinds of political prisoners, I would say. If you like, I can talk a little bit about that, but I don't want to dominate the discussion.
Well, I was going to fire it back over to Patrick if he had a question for you.
No, I'm actually really interested in hearing what she has to say. I think it's not many of us have gone through that, and I'm worried that, I mean, it's coming here. We know that. That's what they're trying to do.
It's already here. Yeah, we've got political prisoners now. Monica, what would you say to our political prisoners here in this country?
Yeah, what would I? Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, the fact that there are political prisoners in the United States, yes, there are, but they get put there through very, you know, devious means. And I've had some interesting stories come my way. I mean, these are things I had no idea before, because, you know, you have the First Amendment and freedom of speech and all these things, but they have other means, you know, so they set somebody up with other crimes and then they defend themselves and then they call them the aggressors or whatever. But, oh, yeah, again, people write letters to these political prisoners. It's
like all right, so hold on. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say
something. All right, folks, we're back here with Monica Schaefer and our guest co-host, Patrick Turner. And, Monica, before the break, I was talking about if you could give an appeal. We've got political prisoners. And we've got parents of those prisoners who listen in. What would you tell the parents of those prisoners, if you could?
Yeah, thanks for the subsequent question to that, because I didn't really even answer your initial question. What I would say to the prisoners, first of all, to be proud and stay strong and just always remind yourselves that you are standing for truth. And, you know, if you're a political prisoner and that you have been wrongly thrown in the gulag just because of things you've said or stood up for your people or this kind of thing, you have truth on your side, and always to remind yourself of that, that, and to be proud and stay strong through that. And so I would say the same thing to the parents, that their children who are incarcerated, that really, that I think that they should also feel pride in that, that their children are, you know, doing the right thing, and God is with us. God is with their children. God is with you. And yeah, to stay strong through that. And yeah, that's how I managed to get through the experience actually very well. I mean, I felt I was in a good mood most of the time, and it's because I felt I had truth on my side, and they proved it to me over every day. And it made my prison experience actually really be quite tolerable. And I mean, I felt actually freer in there than sometimes that I do on the outside here. It is quite incredible. I mean, if you feel free in your heart and in your spirit and your mind, you are free. Okay, they lock you in. You're locked in, and so they have the keys to your daily routine and whatnot. But you are actually then even more free in some ways, because you're not living in fear of, gee, what can I say or what can I not say, you see? So we have to shed our fear, because that is the biggest obstacle to our freedom, and that is sort of gives them their power, is our fear. That is why they keep us in fear all the time. I think that in a nutshell there, we've got to shed our fear and stand tall, be proud of who we are, be proud of our ancestry, be proud of our culture, be proud of our people, and that just gives us incredible strength.
Back to you, Patrick.
No, I agree. I think that there are higher truths that we need to fight for. And I think that's a part of being alive. And I think for young people out there that are faced with what we were discussing earlier, which is the degeneration culture, it's you know, you can either stand for truth and be righteous and have that feeling of you actually did something positive for your people, for your country. There's no higher calling than that. So I do completely agree with Monica. We need to shed that fear and stand strong within ourselves and realize we're here for a purpose. And, you know, as they say, no man is an island. So this attack's an attack on all of us. And we need to make that choice. Are we going to stand up for what we believe in and live with purpose and live righteous? Or are we going to be walked over and destroyed and lose everything? Everything that we've built and everything our families have built over many, many years of struggle.
That's interesting. Well, and you have a question for Monica.
Oh, God. You know, I've just been interested in hearing her talk because I think the story is incredible. And I have to say, I admire your courage, your right. brother's courage, and the strength. It's unbelievable. So part of me wants to just keep my mouth shut as long as I can, to be honest.
Oh, no, Patrick. I just wanted to say here to what you just said there. Beautifully articulated. Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, go on.
Keep going.
No. Please.
Well, I'll jump in with something a little bit back to the commercials. You know, I just love your commercials. So you had the Give Me Liberty commercial there, and the tune that was playing, it's just one of my favorite fiddle tunes, and it's called Banish Misfortune. And I'm just saying that because it just fits so well. We want to banish misfortune. And then the kosher one, too. It's just so important, you know. And that SCH and the shh sound, they're all saying shh. Be quiet. We are waking up. Oh, yes, we are. And we are going to, you know, just bust apart their lies, and they are crumbling. And that's why they're in panic mode. I just really think that we need to remember that. So if we ever are in danger of getting depressed and down because of how serious it all is, and it is extremely serious, you know, with this new law, this new resolution about the one that you just told us about, that combating anti-Semitism and all that. But, you know, we are busting apart their lies. I guess that's why they're in panic mode and doing all these extreme measures. But you see, so these are exciting times. And we do have the opportunity to do something about it. And that's how my brother talks. He says, look, this is an exciting time to be alive because each and every one of us actually has the opportunity to make a difference. So, you know, we shed our fear, be proud of our people, and reclaim our culture and resist this degeneration, what they're trying to foist on us, and stand up, you know? So it is an exciting time.
It is, and the fight for freedom, it's a long marathon. It's not a short race. And in fact, even after World War II, Germany suffered greatly many, many years with the Berlin Wall separating East and West. You mentioned you had family in the East and West. And what were their struggles through that time? And we've only got a few minutes left, but I mean, just briefly, if you could sum that up.
Yes, I do have relatives all over Germany. So my mother's side of the family was originally from the East, like Berlin area, and so her family got split, you know, through the wall coming down. But you know what? My father, he spent time in one of those death camps after the war, and it's really, really lucky that he escaped with his life. And you see, this is what we don't learn in the schools, is the millions of Germans who were deliberately killed after World War II, after the open hostilities were finished in 1945, but the war continued, and millions of Germans were killed either through, you know, torture or starvation, and these death camps claimed at least a million. So this is something that people need to understand, that the war actually never stopped, and Germany is not a sovereign nation to this day. It is an occupied country, and they don't learn that in school either, but... Yeah, so, oh my goodness, I know we're almost at the end, and I'm not sure what would like to just end on the note that people need to treat this as the first day of the rest of their lives and stand up and resist and shed the fear. And I think I'd like to leave it with that and turn it back over to Patrick.
No, I completely agree. I think it's, you know, tell the truth and shame the devil is a thing. I think... you know, what can we do is to deny them what they seek, which is the pleasure of our destruction. So that's us, you know, everyone out there is keeping yourself in order and standing strong and finding a community of people who are willing to stand by you and realizing that we're all there for anyone who's going through this. We all are there in spirit. And I don't know, I also have a very positive outlook. This is not something that we can't overcome. We're
yes.
ready. People are waking up. You know, they're on the attack, and that means that we're doing something right.
And there are many
yeah.
more of us than they think. There are many more of us,
mm-hmm.
and this is also a very, very important thing for people to remember, that there are many more of us than appears to be, and that they use certain methods to keep the appearance up that we're just lone nutcases, you know, like ritual defamation is one of the methods they use. But we need to understand and know that there are so many of us, and that gives also some encouragement and strength to us, and our numbers are growing by the day.
That is very
yes, it
true.
Is. I'll add one more and say, you know, the study to show yourselves approved. People get into the scripture and strengthen your faith in God. And hold firm, but definitely study the word and know what you believe in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Hide the words in your mind and heart. And all these things will help you along our way as we try to battle and shame the devil and try to battle these battles on earth.
Yes.
So anyway, folks, I really have enjoyed this hour with Monica and this hour with Patrick.
This has been fantastic. It's been an excellent
Patrick,
show.
You've done great. I've this has been your first time, your debut. How do you feel?
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. I had a great time, and the first hour I listened to off air, and it's just great. The past two shows, Monica, that's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to have you on. Yeah, Monica, thank you for coming on, and thank you for talking about
these
issues.
Oh, and prayers
to Eddie. That's been dear to you.
It's my great honor to be on with you, and thank you so much.
Yeah, and let's keep Eddie in our thoughts. I forgot to say.
Yes.
We need him back in action as soon as possible.
Yes, I would like to reiterate that, to get well soon, Eddie.
Eddie, please get well soon. We all can't wait to have you back on the show. And from the Blood River Radio cast and our from the Blood River Radio folks, Eddie, myself, Jacob, Lee Cochran, and Monica and Patrick and Sam Bushman, the great Sam Bushman, we all thank you for joining with us this time. And we all wish you a good night, and we'll come back next week, and we'll be here. Thank y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you.